Hey, I'm Michael, online pastor at Silverdale Baptist Church, and I'm excited to welcome you to our podcast. Now, after you listen to this episode, I hope you'll stick around for just a moment. I'll be sharing about some resources we have for you, as well as a few things going on at Silverdale right now that we would love for you to be a part of. Now, I really hope this podcast is just what you need today to help you in your relationship with Jesus.
And it's good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here. If you're joining us online, app, or the podcast, anyway, you're joining us, just thank you for being here as well. And in this time, I just invite everyone, if they could, let's get out a Bible or a Bible app, and let's go. We're studying the book of Hebrews, so let's go to the book of Hebrews. That's New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. We're blessed today to be looking at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 28. That's the whole chapter. We're going to be looking at the whole chapter. That's good news. All 28 verses. It's dense, it's thick. There's some theological deep truths in here. There's a lot of big words used in here. But if you stick with me, it's going to pay off. We're going to see really some glorious truth in the text today. Well, really, as always, but it's an exciting text. Let me just begin this way. I was thinking about this as I was studying this text. The deal is this: I am eternally grateful if someone points out a truth to me or the Holy Spirit enlightens me to a truth in the Bible that I had not seen before. I am eternally grateful for that, right? And that's what's going to happen today in Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, the author of the book of Hebrews, he's going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Three verses, he goes back and he explains them to all of us. He's going to explain this to us, because back in Genesis chapter 14, something really odd kind of happened. We were introduced, if you're reading the Old Testament, we're introduced to this kind of mysterious king. The king's name is hard, but the king's name is Melchizedek. And you're reading, I don't know, the book of Genesis, you get to chapter 14, and Melchizedek, he just kind of shows up out of nowhere, you know? He shows up out of nowhere, kind of like my kids do, man, when I open some Oreos, right? It's like, they just show up. And that's Melchizedek, he just shows up. And it's kind of odd. And then the Bible moves on, and you got these three verses, and you're like, that was odd. And now the author of Hebrews is going to go back. He's going to explain it to us. He's going to explain what God was teaching us. Spoiler alert, real quick. It's Jesus. That's what he's doing. Exactly. Let me read these three verses that the author of Hebrews is going to explain to us today. Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20. Here it is. Here's what it says, the word of God. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. That's Yahweh. That's the sovereign God of the universe. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High." I love this. "Possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. That's it. It just shows up. You know, reading, it just shows up, and then the Bible moves on. And it's really an odd three verses. It's odd just in the characteristics of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if a new character shows up, normally they're going to tell you who their ancestors were. They're going to tell you the time in which the individual lived and when they died. But Melchizedek, he just shows up. And we're not told any of these things. It's like you're walking in the text, and then boom, Melchizedek, and then you keep going. In addition to that, in those three verses, we are introduced to five new concepts that had not been in the Bible until that point. Let me just go over this with you real quick. First, it's the first time in the Bible you're introduced to the word priest. First time, right? Second thing, it's the first time you have a war on the earth. That whole section is about a war and a battle. Fourth and fifth, it's the first time in the Bible we're introduced to bread and wine. Final thing, first time in the Bible we're told about tithing. That's a new concept. That's the first time it's in the Bible, all right? So that's a lot to take in. All right? Yeah, he comes out of nowhere. He gives you five new concepts you've never heard of. Then the Bible grows silent. Now, what was that about? Well, we get to Hebrews. By the way, 3,000 years removed from when the event actually took place, and the author of Hebrews is going to explain to us. That's 5,000 years removed from you and I. And so it's an amazing truth about the Bible. It's an amazing thing to see that the sovereign God has woven into the fabric of Scripture the truths about Jesus that we miss until God reveals to us in the proper time exactly what he was saying back then. And it's all about Jesus. So we got a lot to cover. We're going to push on through it. Let's begin. Chapter 7, verse 1. Let's get an explanation of Genesis. All right. First thing we're going to see is the greatness of Melchizedek. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Good stuff. All right. For this Melchizedek, he begins. I'm going back to Genesis. Now, you guys come with me. I'm going back to Genesis because I'm going to tell you. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. All right. So you got Abraham. He's just defeated some kings. He's returning to his house in victory. And on his way home, you get this mysterious King Melchizedek. All right. Four things I want to just point out just rapidly. His name, Melchizedek. It means literally, well, Melech meaning king, Tzedek meaning righteousness. His name means king of righteousness. And the king of righteousness, we're told, the city that he's the king of, Salem. So the city's name in which he is king of is peace. And he's a priest of the Most High God, the living God. And then he blessed him. He blesses Abraham. Okay. Now, go back to Genesis. How did he bless him? He blessed him by bringing out bread and wine. That's how he blesses him, okay? Bread symbolizes sustenance and strength. Wine symbolizes joy. Guys, church, check it out. This is an unparalleled foreshadowing of the characteristics of Christ, right? You got Abraham, exhausted from battle. He comes across the king of righteousness who is ruling over the city of peace, and he offers to him strength and life. That's the picture. It's beautiful. It's Jesus, verse 2. And to him, Abraham, apportion a tenth part of everything. He is first, we're talking about Melchizedek. He is first by translation of his name. We just talked about this king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is king of peace. All right, we talked a little bit about that, but the new concept here is this whole tithing. The first time in the Bible, tithing is even introduced. It's a new concept. A little rabbit trail here. I just want you to know this. Abraham did not give the tithe to Melchizedek because he wanted his best life now. And you guys preaching on tithing. Let's go all the way back. Let's go on the first tithe. He did not tithe so that he might anticipate in the future, more money coming his way. He wasn't trying to manipulate Melchizedek. No, he was tithing to him, and it was a symbol, it was a gesture, and he is saying, all I have, Melchizedek, belongs to you. It's yours. I'm going to give it a tenth. That's what it says. It is yours. Everything is yours. King of righteousness over the city of peace. Everything I have is yours. Once again, picture of Jesus. Verse 3, more information. All right. He, that's Melchizedek. Now, this is kind of a little bit odd. There's a lot of books written on this, but we're not going to go over all the books. But look, he, Melchizedek, is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest. This is what we're going to catch on to a little bit later, forever. Now you read this, and if you're going to take it literally, you're going to say that sounds kind of odd, right? Is he saying that Melchizedek is superhuman in some way? He's not a real person? No, that's not at all what he's saying. He's referring to the fact that it's very odd. It's odd that he shows up in the Old Testament and we don't get his history. We don't get his genealogy. We're not told any of that. And it's really unusual from the Old Testament. But we know he's a normal man because it says in the text, if you stay in the text, he says he resembles the Son of God. So this is a real man. But it's a shadow of, it's a picture of the Messiah to come. So that's the opening kind of word picture that we get. In Genesis chapter 14, there is a king of righteousness, and he rules over a city of peace, and he longs to offer you strength. He longs to offer you life to those who are completely surrendered to him. All right? That's the picture. Now, I understand. Some of us might say, I'm not real good with word pictures. Well, let me just say it more clear. Melchizedek is Jesus, and you and I are Abraham. That's the picture. All right? You going back? That's it. Let's build upon it. Verse 4. Because he's teaching us. Hebrews is teaching us about this. See how great this man, Melchizedek, was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of his spoils. Now, once again, that's a powerful statement. Because in the Jewish tradition, Abraham was, he's a top dog, right? And what makes this so interesting is you have Abraham the patriarch bending his knee to and tithing to Melchizedek. It's a big deal. This is a big deal. This is a big deal to the guys reading this. Verse 5. And those descendants of Levi, all right, that's from Abraham, Levi, who received the priestly office, have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers. That's the people of God. Though these also are descendants from Abraham. Okay, here's the thinking. Here's the argument, all right? We're going to kind of break this down. We're talking about greatness here. We're talking about the greatness of Melchizedek, okay? So here's kind of the picture that's just painted, all right? You got God's people. God's people tithe to the priest, the Levitical priest in the Old Testament, all right? The Levitical priests are descendants of Abraham, all right? Abraham tithes to Melchizedek, all right? That's the breakdown there. And the lesser always tithes to the greater. So that's what we're getting. We're getting this foundation laid about the greatness of Melchizedek, all right? You got God's people giving tithes to the priest. Priest, descendant from Abraham. Abraham tithing to Melchizedek. He's great. Look at this, verse 6. But this man, Melchizedek, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. That's Abraham, Messiah. The Messiah is the promise. Here we go. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, the lesser, but in the other case, by one of whom is testified that he lives. We're talking about Jesus. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestors when Melchizedek met him. All right, a lot going on there. There's a lot, there's some big words, but a lot of concepts going on. But we're starting to see a compare and a contrast between the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus, who is a, Melchizedek is a picture of, and that is grace. So we're getting this dividing line here. We're getting this comparison of the two. We want to see, we want to understand, all right? He just told us in that text, the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood was good and it was necessary. All right. But it was not perfect. I mean, the blood of animals could not pay for sin forever and make you right. He's saying there's something greater than, something infinitely better than that, and that is through Christ Jesus. The whole argument that's being built, and he's going to continue on this as we see this, is Jesus is better, Jesus is coming, Jesus is infinitely superior. All right. Now, I realize we just read a lot, and we went through a lot, and maybe some of these concepts, we're still thinking about them, but I want you to stick with me because we're going to continue to build on this, and it's going to start coming together. We saw the greatness of Melchizedek. Now, we're going to move to verse 11, and we're going to see the sufficiency of Melchizedek. All right? Once again, remember, Melchizedek, we're learning about Genesis chapter 14 back there. Melchizedek's a picture of Jesus. All right? We're going to see the sufficiency of Melchizedek. All right? Verse 11 starts like this. Now. All right? Now. Now, based upon all the things we've just been talking about, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, that's Old Testament, for under it the people received the law. I ask the question. What further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Once again, what just happened? We're getting a dividing line here. We're getting a dividing line in this, okay? You're saying you got the Levitical priesthood over here. Now, we're making an argument for Christ being infinitely better. So the question that arises right here, he says, answer me this. If you could have been made right under the Levitical system, the Old Testament system, under obeying law, if you could have been made right there, right, if that would have worked, why then would God send Jesus, all right? That's the question. Why? If you and I had the ability to please God, to be made right in God's sight by doing less bad and doing more good, why then would it necessitate the birth of Christ? Because it's not sufficient. The system over is not sufficient. Now, we know this. I mean, because I think all of us have tried to modify our behavior. And I was thinking, when I was reading the text, I was thinking about this. Like, maybe you've done this. I don't know if you have, but I did this experiment one time. I know it's lame, but here's an experiment I did to myself. I said, I wonder how long I can go without sinning. Anyone ever tried that? Ever tried that? Now, once again, I know I sin all the time, and I'm unaware of the sins that I'm doing, okay? But just the sins I know of. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, how long can I modify my flesh? How long can I control this flesh? Now, I was a younger guy when I did this, and I remember my greatest probably struggle was being kind to my sister. That was my struggle. So this is the story, man. So, it must have been, and I was thinking of this, it must have been like a Friday night. I say my prayers. I'm like, okay, God, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up, and I want to see how long I can go without sinning. That's what I said to myself. So I go to bed, and I wake up. Now, that was a Friday night. As soon as I woke up, I realized, you know, there's a problem with this, okay? The problem is it was Saturday morning, right? And back in the day, that's when you watch the cartoons, okay? And so I get up and I get my breakfast, Cheerios, whatever. And then I go to the only television set we have, and I'm gonna watch the cartoons that I want to watch. Problem was, my sister wanted to watch different cartoons. And I was not kind. I didn't make it 30 minutes, I make it 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And I say that and it's humorous, but we do that, right? We try to, this system over here, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna do the best of my ability. I'm gonna be good, but it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. Look at verse 12. For when there is a change in the priesthood, all right, meaning Levitical, then you get the Jesus, Melchizedek system. There is necessarily a change in the law as well. Okay, still the dividing line. We got this dividing line, okay? You got the Levitical priesthood, okay? And now we got this change to grace, to this relationship. Now, amen, yeah, so when you're changing from one to the other, his argument is this: there is also, in addition to that, a necessity to have a change in the law as well. So you go from the religion, internal, I mean, right? I'm gonna do. Well, I guess that's external. I'm gonna do. Then you change to the internal, Jesus abiding in you, a relationship. Religion, relationship. Verse 13. For the one of whom these things are spoken belong to another tribe. We're talking about Jesus. This is Jesus now. From which no one has ever served at the altar. Now he's going to make an argument, another argument. This is good. Making a dividing line. For it is evident that our Lord was descendant from Judah. Okay, that's a point. He was. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Here's the problem. This is what he's talking about here. Here's the problem. In the Old Testament, in the law, it was mandated, it was commanded that if you wanted to be a priest, you had to be of the tribe of Levi. You're going to be the Levitical priesthood. You're going to be in this religious system, this due system, right? Levi. If you're not descendant of Levi, you can't be a priest. Problem is, Jesus is not. Right? Jesus is not a descendant of Levi. He is a descendant of Judah. Okay, I am not a lawyer, okay? But, you know, if the law says you got to be a descendant of Levi to be a priest, it seems that Jesus might have a problem. This is when we get back to Melchizedek, because he's going to point it out. The author of Hebrews points out that Melchizedek, predating the Levitical priesthood, all right, was not from the tribe of Levi at all, okay? The argument is that Jesus is in the line of Melchizedek, who even predated the Levitical priesthood, making him fit for, Psalms 110:4 says, a priest forever. That's what he's saying. He is legitimate. He does have a right. Why? How do we know this? You go back to Genesis 14. Genesis 14 says a Messiah is coming, a different priesthood is coming, and that priesthood will be infinitely better than the Levitical priesthood. So you're not tapping into the law. You're not tapping into this framework. You're not tapping into the, I'm going to do sacrifice of animals. You go back beyond that. You pull that in. You're going by grace because Christ is sufficient. Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. He did it. That's what he's saying. Grace, church. That's the dividing line. Grace. He's going to keep going, man, because he's not done. Look at verse 15. Come on, look. Verse 15. This becomes even more evident. Like, if that wasn't enough, I got some more evidence for you. When another priest arises in the, look at that, likeness of Melchizedek, Jesus, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirements, it's not the law concerning bodily descent, who you are descended from, but this is what he, look at this, but he is a priest by the power of indestructible life, meaning born, raised from life, death, for it is witnessed of him, here you go, this is the only other place Melchizedek is mentioned in the Old Testament, Psalm 110:4. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're going back to Melchizedek. Jesus, we're going back to Melchizedek. That's where we're going. For on the one hand, check this out. This is so evident. Look, on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. That's the law. That's the religion. For the law made nothing perfect. Law don't make nothing perfect. But on the other hand, look, a better hope is introduced. Who's that hope? Jesus, through which we what? Draw near to God. Side by side comparison. Right there. You got the Levitical system. You got the laws. You got the regulations. You got the killing of the goats and the doves. And you got all this stuff. You're doing all that. You're doing the work. You're doing all this. But it didn't work, right? It wasn't sufficient. Because by the time you slaughter one goat to cover the sin, okay, what happens? Well, you probably sin again. You're going to need an infinite number of goats, and you're going to need to be killing them all the time in order to cover the sin. The other system, Jesus, the order of Melchizedek. And what's the result? The text says it, we draw near to God. Yeah, amen. You got two systems. And once again, just by way of reminder, we're going to the book of Hebrews. This is not a random message. We've been building on this for several months now. Now we're getting really to the heart of it, all right? The greatness of Melchizedek, the sufficiency of Melchizedek. Now I want us to see the superiority of Melchizedek. And I want you just to stick with me here, because this is tremendous. He's now going to give us three consecutive reasons for the superiority of Jesus Christ. First, he's going to say he is superior to the Levitical system because of an oath. Just follow me on this. There's going to be a few verses, but this is the superiority of Jesus over the Levitical system. And it was not without an oath. We're talking about Jesus. Look, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, right? But this one, Jesus, was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, this is God saying, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. That's Psalms 110. This oath makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Yeah, grace. Grace is a better covenant. The former priests were made many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he, what, continues forever. That's the argument, right? Old Testament, Levitical priesthood, you got these guys over here. God never said that was permanent. He never said that. God never said that was permanent. He never said that. People like, well, argue, whatever. Is it not permanent? God never said it was permanent. But he made an oath that Jesus, the Messiah, as our high priest, would be priest forever. Jesus is better. And we can sit there and we can try. I'm going to do works. I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to modify my behavior. I'm going to be moral. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And perhaps God will be happy with all of it. All that work we do. Don't even take care of one sin. He's superior by the oath. Second, Jesus is superior because he is eternal. Look at this verse 25. Oh, man. Verse 25, consequently. Because of everything he just said, consequently, he, that is Jesus, check it out, church, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. This is beautiful. Since he always lives to make intercessions for them. That's his people. And I love that. You understand the magnitude, church, of that statement. We see here there is never a time that Jesus is not available to you. There is never a time he's not accessible. There's not a time when he will not or cannot intercede on your behalf. Listen. It means before you sin, It means even while you're in the midst of sinning and after you sin, that whole time he is accessible by you. You can access him. Problem is we don't always try, right? We don't always go to the throne room. We don't go to the throne room. But I love intercession. Tremendous. Intercession. No. Intercession. It's a powerful thing. Anytime. I want to share with you a story about intercession. And I learned this 2 weeks ago, so it's hot off the press. One of the things I enjoy doing, I should do it more often. I love to spend time with, talk with people who are not like me. That's sometimes difficult because you surround yourself with people like you. But I do. So 2 weeks ago, this is all about intercession prayer, man. I've never shared this. 2 weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a godly, older, African-American woman who lives in our city. Right? We couldn't be more different except for our love for Jesus, okay? I mean, she's older, she's a woman, and she's a different color. So we're just talking. And I'm asking her questions. She lives in the same city I live in, but she hasn't experienced the same things I've experienced. And this is so true, guys. She's sharing with me some of the struggles in her life, some of the things that she's been through. And there's some tremendous, tremendous things and how she prayed and how God delivered her. And she's telling me a story, and she's telling me a story, and she's telling me a story. And they're all just great stories of her prayer and God's faithfulness. All right? So I say this. I go, ma'am, God's done some amazing things in your life. To which she said this, almost word for word, not quite word for word. She goes, Travis, I want you to understand something. I got my finger in the Holy Ghost power socket. And I got the Holy Ghost power, and when I pray, stuff happens. All right. This is where I learned a lot about intercession prayer. At that point, I said to her, would you pray for me? And she goes, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And she paused a minute, and she goes, what do you want me to pray for? She's like, I am not going to go to the throne room of God on your behalf, intercede for you in a general fashion. I want to intercede in a specific way. What do you want me to pray for? Amen. Now, this is going to say a lot about me, my shallowness, because I was, at that point, was just going to just say, you know, Christianese, you know, big whatever. You know, pray for good weather. I don't know. But God the Spirit pressed into me. No, Travis. Right now, tell her what you pray for. I'm like, wow. She don't know me very well. Okay. So I paused and I thought through what I've been praying for. And first thing I asked her, I said, ma'am, pray that I'd be a better pastor. That's what I asked. So I want to be a better pastor. I want to love better. I want to preach better. I want to serve better. And then it just keeps pushing on me. Like, you know, ma'am, I want to be a better father. Could you pray? I'm telling her, I want to be a better father. Can you pray for that? I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better friend. And then I prayed for this. This is on my mind, guys. I've been praying for this a lot. This service right here. We need a worship leader. And I told her that. I said, ma'am, we need a worship leader. I'm looking everywhere. I feel insufficient for the task, and no one's come. I don't know. Well, that's it. And I gave it to her. She goes, okay, got it. She had them. And she goes, I'm going to intercede on your behalf. I'm going to go in the throne room of God and pray. Intercession. She goes, let's pray. And I got to tell you this. When she was praying, there was no doubt in my mind that she was talking to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't praying a prayer so that she might sound holy, righteous. She's doing the hard work of prayer. And I'm telling you right now, I'm certain she breathed, but I didn't hear her stopping to take a breath. And she's praying, and she's praying. She's praying for me. She did that for 15 minutes straight. And you go, no. You say, Travis, how do you know it was 15 minutes? I'll tell you why. To my shame, at minute number 10, I opened my eyes and looked at my clock. And I thought to myself, I got a lot of work to accomplish. God the Spirit really pushed on me and said, Travis, you ain't got nothing to do. And I thought, I got a sermon to prepare. And God's like, you ain't got nothing to prepare. Travis, I looked at your schedule and I done cleaned it off. Only thing you gotta do right now, Travis, is sit there. And so I did. She prayed for 15 minutes straight, intercession on my behalf. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I've ever had someone pray 15 minutes specifically for me in one long sentence. I don't know. And then she said, amen. And then I said, thank you very much. Intercession. Intercession. The text says Jesus lives to make always lives to make intercession for them. Who's the them? Us, Christian. Us. And you too can intercede for other Christians. A powerful thing. Levitical priesthood, got a lot of rules to follow. Grace Jesus, I want to be over here, you know what I mean? Keep going, verse 26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. I love that word, fitting. It means he fits all the requirements.
Yeah.
And come on. He does it all. He's the perfect one and he can do it all. Next, third, Jesus is perfect. That's what Jesus is perfect. Let me live 27 and 28. He has no need. I love that. In case you did not know, Jesus has no need. He has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily. First for our own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath which came later than the law appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice is better than our works. Jesus' grace and forgiveness is bigger, better than our sins. Jesus' perfection is better than your moralism. Jesus is better. He's a better motivator than guilt. I don't do good because I feel guilty when I do bad. I do good because I love Jesus. He empowers me and I love him. He's better than getting angry. He's better than any sin. He's better than getting angry. He's better than gossip. He's better than harsh language. He's better than lust. He's better than hurtful words. He's better than greed. He's better than deceitfulness. He's better than pride. He's better than disobedience. He's better than Moses. He's better than the law. He's better than your worst moment. He's better than your best moment. Jesus is better. And the author of Hebrews has just taken us all the way back to Genesis chapter 14 and explained to us how God embedded a picture of Jesus 3,000 years prior to his birth. Why? Because Jesus is better. Better. He's better. Let me close this way, because I've been thinking about this. You very well could come up to me and say, you know, so this woman who had the Holy Ghost power, prayed for you, prayed over you. interceded on your behalf. How'd that work out? Are you a better pastor, Travis? A better husband? Are you a better father, friend? I didn't see a new worship leader here today, Travis. How'd it work out?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You are a worship leader.
Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right. Come on, I'm with you, I'm with you. Thank you, and I agree with all of that. So my answer would be, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But I do know this, Jesus knows, right? Like he knows because I pray that, and I was there, and I witnessed someone go on my behalf to the throne room of God and make those requests. Jesus knows, and he's always accessible, guys. He's accessible. Silverdale Saturday nights, Silverdale Baptist Church, I love you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Hebrews chapter 7. It's a tremendous text. It's a big text. There's a lot going on. I pray that we leave today, this night, with a clearer picture of the sufficiency and the greatness and the superiority of Jesus to all things. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen.
Well, I hope this was helpful to you. If while listening, you realized you need to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us by clicking the link in the show notes to our website and then clicking the Connect Card button. In our weekend worship services, we are in a sermon series called The Seven Commands of Christ. Jesus gave dozens of commands, and as followers of Jesus, we should obey all of them. Over the next several weeks, we are focusing on seven that will change your life. We would love for you to join each week at one of our campuses, or you can attend online. You will find service times by clicking the link in the show notes to our website. You know, there's so many ways for you to get involved and be a part of what God is doing here at Silverdale, and we really want you to feel welcome and a part. So please, stay connected. Be sure to like and follow us on the different social media accounts. You'll find all the links in the show notes of this episode. And lastly, help us spread the word about this podcast. Take a moment to share this episode with your family and friends. Again, we appreciate you listening and hope you will join us again next time.